ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 11, Texts 18 through 20. So I will read the first three verses just by myself, and then we'll come back to text number 18. We'll do it together. Ritam ritam bayam jiveta. Let me just go through the first three and then we'll come back to this one. I just want to get it in sequence. Ritena pram ritena va satyanta bayam apiva na svavritya kadachanam. Ritam unchaishilam proktam amritam yad ayachitam ritam tu nitya yatya syat pram ritam karshanam smritam satyantram cha vanijyam svavritir nitya sevanam Varajetam sadavipro rajanyascha jugupsitam sarva vedamyo vipra sarva deva mayo nipam. Ritam ritabayam jivaita Ritena pram ritena va satyan ritabayam apiva nasra vritya kadachanam ritam ritabayam jiveta Ritena pram ritena va satyan ritabayam apiva nasvar vritya kadachanam ritam ritabayam jiveta ritena pram ritena va satyan ritabayam apiva nasra vritya kadachanam Ladies, please. No one else? Any other? Oh, thank you. Rita Amritabhayam, of the means of livelihood known as Rita and Amrita. Jiveta, one may live. Ritena, by the profession of Rita. From Ritena, va, or by the profession of Pramrita. Satyanrita bayam api, even by the profession of Satyanrita. Va, or na, never, svavritya, by the profession of the dogs, Kadachana, at any time. Yeah, but that was the last word on the verse we did. So I'll go to the translations. In time of emergency, one may accept any of the various types of professions known as Rita, Amrita, Mrita, Pramrita, and Satyanrita. But one should not at any time accept the profession of a dog. The profession of Unchashila, collecting grains from the field, is called is called Rita. Collecting without begging is called Amrita. Begging grains is called Mrita. Tilling the ground is called Pramrita. And trade is called Satyantra. Satyanrita. Engaging in the service of low-grade persons, however, is called Svavritti, the profession of the dogs. Specifically, Brahmins and Kshatriyas should not engage in the low and abominable service of Shudras. Brahmins should be well acquainted with all the Vedic knowledge, and Kshatriyas should be well acquainted with the worship of demigods. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 4.13, Chatur Varnyam Maya Shrishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasa. The four divisions of human society were created by the Supreme Lord according to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them. Formerly, the principle of dividing human society into four sections, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, was strictly followed, but because of gradual neglect of the Varnashram principles, Varna Sankara population developed. It means mixed castes. Varna Sankara population developed, and the entire institution has now been lost. In this age of Kali, practically everyone is a Shudra. Kalo Shudra Sambhava. And finding anyone who is a Brahmin, Kshatriya, or Vaishya is very difficult. Although the Krishna consciousness movement is a movement of Brahmins and Vaishnavas, it is trying to reestablish the divine Varnashram institution. For without this division of society, there cannot be peace and prosperity anywhere. Omagyana timirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. And before speaking, I beg for the prayers of all the Vaishnavas assembled and online so that I may be able to say something useful and beneficial for all of us. Thank you. So in this particular area of the book, the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is an emphasis on the four different divisions, the four castes or classes, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And as we all know from reading Srila Prabhupada's books, that he made a very diligent, very intense effort to try to bring all of us Sudras up to the level of Brahmins. Now, if one is born as a Brahmin, it doesn't mean that he necessarily is a Brahmin. A Brahmin is not merely a hereditary status, although generally speaking in India, that's usually how it's regarded. According to Narad Muni, whether one is a Brahmin, a Kshatriya, a Vaishya, or a Shudra, if he has the characteristics, if he has the behavior, if he has the feelings of that of any one of those particular categories, then he should be regarded as that, and not necessarily that which he was born. So this is a very important principle. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave out the holy name to everyone and anyone. He did not discriminate. And that is why he is called the most merciful incarnation of God. He came to give everyone pure love of God through the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And so, therefore, we are here today because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended to this world to inaugurate the Sankirtan movement or the Yuga Dharma for this particular age. And it was carried on from teacher to disciple, who became teacher to disciple. And then Srila Prabhupada received this knowledge. And he did more than just preach to a few people. But he decided to follow the order of his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj, and spread this teaching, which Lord Chaitanya came down for, all over the world. And that's exactly what he did. He traveled extensively. His compassion, his love, his affection knew no bounds. There was nothing that he would not do to enable, to help, to assist one to develop some interest in, affection for, love for Lord Sri Krishna. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the Nectar of Instruction that the emblem of a pure spiritual master is that he realizes that he's an eternal servant of Krishna. He loses interest in everything except Krishna. He's always thinking of Krishna. And he's always figuring out new ways in which to spread the holy name of Krishna. And he understands that his only business is to spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Such a person should be considered an Uttama Adhikari. And the advanced Uttama Adhikari should be regarded as the advanced Uttamadhikari should be regarded as an advanced spiritual master. So this was the principle by which Srila Prabhupada lived. And he made a very clear distinction between, first of all, what is a Brahmin, and then he took it to another level, a higher level, which is known as the Vaishnav Brahmin. And this is what he wanted us to focus upon. Now, a Brahmin, as we know from Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, some of those qualities are that he manifests peacefulness, he has self-control, he's austere, he has purity, he's tolerant, he's honest, he has knowledge of the Vedas, he's wise, and he also is religious. These are just eight of the qualities of a Brahmin, but if you go to the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, you'll find many more qualities. So he wanted us to develop the virtues: patience, kindness, compassion, understanding, love, courage, determination, resolution. He wanted us to develop these virtues, which not only help us become Krishna conscious, but help us in our distributing Krishna consciousness to others, so that when we speak, people will be affected in their heart and they will feel something good and kind and warm and gentle and loving coming from us, and consequently will, as a fish sees some bait and takes it and then gets hooked into it. So he wanted everyone to be hooked in Krishna consciousness and never leave it, of course. So that was the aim, that was the goal, and it still is the aim and the goal of the Krishna consciousness movement. And as we saw in this wonderful, glorious, memorable Rath Yatra festival, so many people were blessed by the mercy of all the devotees who were dancing and who were chanting, who were pulling the carts, the mercy of Srila Prabhupada's Murti who was on the cart, the mercy of Lord Jagannath, Lord Baladev, Lady Subhadra. Actually, everyone whom the Lord looked at, everyone who saw the Lord, the seed of liberation was immediately planted. And whether it begins to sprout tomorrow, or the next day, or the next week, next year, or the next life, it must sprout. That is the promise of Lord Jagannath, that all who see him must become liberated. Such is the greatest of benediction. That is not surprising, because in the battle of Kurukshetra, anyone who died looking at Krishna went back to Godhead, no matter what his qualities are. And look at poor King Kamsa. He was always so hostile, so condescending, so malicious, and yet still he got the form of the Lord in the Vaikuntha planets, because he was constantly thinking of the Lord. He couldn't get his mind off, but of course it was in animosity. It was in hostility. Nonetheless, because the Lord is absolute and so purifying, anyone who looks at him, anyone who glances at him, anyone who has any kind of connection with him, becomes purified and ultimately goes back home, back to Godhead. So we have the Brahmin. Brahmin is concerned with doing the brahminical activities, such as what we see up on the altar now, worshipping the deities, dressing the deities, reciting prayers to the deities, reading the Vedic scriptures, giving talks about the Lord. However, a Brahmin may or may not do these with affection or love. He may do these as a formality. He may do this as his occupation. He may do this simply in a way in which he tries to do it well. He tries to execute the duty in a perfect way. But it doesn't necessarily mean that he even loves the Lord. It only means that he respects the Lord. And in respecting the Lord, of course, he does the job well. But Srila Prabhupada took us, he told us all of that. A Brahmin is clean, a Brahmin is punctual, a Brahmin is orderly, a Brahmin is neat. These are all the good qualities of the Brahmin. But he took us even a step further than that. The Vaishnav Brahmin focuses his attention on that very wonderful verse. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu must be performed. Otherwise work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, perform your prescribed duty for his satisfaction, and in that way, you will be freed from the bondage to work. So the key word there is for his satisfaction. Do we sing for our satisfaction? Do we dance for our satisfaction? Do we serve for our satisfaction? Do we dress the deities for our satisfaction? Or for whom? Or for the deity's satisfaction. The gopis of Vrindavan were perfect in this. Everything they did was for the satisfaction of Krishna. Even when they were making up their faces, combing their hair, putting their eyeshadow on, or their rouge, their lipstick, whatever it is, their thought, and you see this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, second chapter, Adi Leela, third, they were concerned with one thing, not how beautiful they looked, but how beautiful they looked for Krishna. They knew that when Krishna saw them, he gained a certain pleasure at looking at their beautiful faces. And they brought smiles to his face. So they made themselves look beautiful for his pleasure, not for their own pleasure. But their pleasure was in seeing his pleasure. When he would smile, when he would feel some joyfulness, when some sweetness would manifest by the way he moved his eyes, or the way he smiled, or the way he looked, their happiness would become even thousands of times greater than Krishna's. Because they felt they were adding, they were aiding and abetting and contributing to Krishna's further happiness. Yes, Krishna is always blissful. That is his nature, Satchidananda. He's always blissful, he's always peaceful. He's always knowledgeable. Nonetheless, peace, bliss, knowledge is not a static thing. It's not a this or that, and there it is, and that's it, forever, no more. The nature of transcendental loving exchanges is that they are ever increasing in giving Krishna more sweetness, more bliss, or intensified bliss, intensifies his love. In fact, that's one of the things that bothered him. Is that he would see the gopis, especially Srimati Radharani, experiencing such intense, such overwhelming transcendental bliss that he saw it, and she was the abode of devotion, and he was the object of her devotion. And although he saw how blissful she was, he didn't know what it tasted like. Because he knew, he could sense and could feel that her bliss, her joy was 10 million times greater than his. And as a result of that, not only her bliss, but her love for him was so intense, was so dependent, she was so completely feeling incomplete without the presence of Krishna in front of her. And when he was not in front of her, she was just longing for him and seeing him in her heart. So much in love was she. And that particular love that she had, again, Krishna says, this is 10 million times greater than my love for her. And he also said, he looked in the mirror and he saw how beautiful he looked, how sweet he looked, and yet the appreciation of the gopis for his sweetness was 10 million times greater than he could appreciate his own sweetness. So, in order to know what they were experiencing, to experience that, he had to rejoin the mentality of Srimati Radharani. Originally, there was Krishna, and then He manifested as Lardini potency, and that Lardini potency manifested as the embodiment of pure love and pure bliss, pure pleasure, which was for the sole purpose of giving Krishna pleasure. So to know that pleasure of the lover, he had to assume her form, and so therefore he came as Lord Chaitanya in response to the cries and the calls and the beggings of Advaita Acharya. And her feelings, her thoughts, her rasa, he was able to know only in that form of Lord Chaitanya, because that which was Radha and Krishna and then separated again combined. So coming back to the point of the Vaishnav Brahman, the Vaishnav Brahman can take any work. In fact, Vaishnav Brahman is even, he thinks of himself as lower than the straw in the street. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, one should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking of oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So this is the mood of the Vaishnav Brahman. Yes, he's clean, he's neat, he's orderly, or she's neat, she's clean, she's orderly. She has all, they have all good qualities. Nonetheless, as a result of the practice of developing love of the Lord through loving service, through sacrifice of one's body, mind, one's intelligence and words, by surrendering oneself completely to the Supreme Lord, one develops this love. And it goes beyond the formalities of merely serving the Lord, but it becomes serving the Lord lovingly, serving the Lord with the heart, serving the Lord with a mood of appreciation. Wow, here I am, a living entity who has committed so many sins, so many wrongs, so many faults, and yet, lo and behold, the Supreme Lord is allowing me, permitting me to come into His home, this abode here, and look at Him, and see Him, and serve Him. What mercy! I don't deserve this. I should stay outside where the dogs are. Like it says here, shouldn't take the profession of a dog. I should be with the dogs, and yet He allows me simply because I have a human form. What mercy! What kindness! What sweetness! I owe Him unlimitedly now. There is no amount that I can repay Him. And when the devotee develops this attitude and consummates this attitude, that there is no amount of service that he could perform that is too much for the Supreme Lord, then Krishna is extremely pleased with him and feels obligated to him. So much so that he, as he said to the gopis of Vrindavan, he said, your love for me is so intense and so complete and so overwhelming that there's nothing I can do to repay you for this. You have to be satisfied with your own devotional service. Just be satisfied with that. And all I can give you is myself. Well, that's all they wanted. What else is there? Is there anything higher or greater or better or bigger or grander than to have the Lord as your friend, to have the Lord as your associate, to have the Lord as your companion, to have the Lord to dance with, to have the Lord to sing with, to clap your hands with in the dead of night while the moon was shining? And all the demigods were looking on and saying, wow, what a sight, amazing. So a Vaishnav Brahman has one thing in mind, and that is, how much more pleasure can I give to Krishna? Now, one of the other ways of giving Krishna pleasure is not just through this direct service, as we have of the deities, dressing them, making them up, worshipping them, but also sharing Krishna. When one becomes more and more Krishna conscious, there develops in the heart a very intense desire to want to share all this with others. And that sharing comes, of course, through Srila Prabhupada gave us these incredibly beautiful, wonderful books. And the more we give them out to others, others become purified by them. And their material life gets a chance to burn out and become a spiritual life. So this is another way in which we can express our love to Krishna, by sharing the knowledge, by sharing the words, by sharing the sentiments, by sharing the feelings that are in this Bhagavatam. And so many of the purports exemplify the very feelings of Lord Sri Krishna. And that is so important. And if we can imbibe those same feelings, as it is said in the Bhagavatam, and one who has unflinching devotional service to Krishna, all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods become manifest or consistent. So when we become absorbed in service to Krishna, when we appreciate the service, when we chant Hare Krishna with a feeling of gratitude, when we chant with a feeling of that we are truly speaking the name of the greatest, the highest, the best, that we are in touch with Krishna himself because he is non-different from his name, that we have received the greatest of benedictions, when we recall those blessings to our mind, then chanting becomes not a mechanical or robotic or indifferent activity. It becomes a truly loving, blissful, happy, fulfilling experience, which is what it's supposed to be. Sometimes I see devotees just chanting like,
it's getting late.
It's not supposed to be that. This is mechanical. This is indifferent. The Lord has given us a great opportunity to draw close to Him, to receive the kind of bliss and peace and happiness that people are striving for in the external world, but never finding it. They can't find it in a movie. They get a few moments of happiness. You can't find it in a novel. You can't find it in a 7-Up drink, although some may have found it. But you can't find it in some vodka or any of these things. You can only find it within. A liberated person is not attracted to material sense enjoyment, but is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized person enjoys unlimited happiness, for he concentrates on the Supreme Lord. And this is what our duty is, to remember Krishna continuously throughout the day. When you're walking across the street, you see a tree. Who made the tree? Krishna. Who made the flower? Krishna. Who made the beautiful cloud? Krishna. Who made that beautiful face? Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey, everywhere Krishna. We are. That is what being Krishna conscious is all about. It means being conscious of Krishna. It's not just I'm a Hare Krishna devotee. A Hare Krishna devotee has to be striving always to be conscious of Krishna. And when we do that, and we do it prayerfully, my dear Lord, I am fallen, I am wretched, I am worthless, I am useless, mindless, pointless. Please, please help me to love you purely. Please help me to assist others in doing the same. If you will do that, then my life will be successful and complete. There will be nothing needed. I will not have to go anywhere. I will not have to go to anyone because you have it all. And when you manifest it through my heart and I feel your bliss and your peace and strength and courage and joy, all of these things, then I'm fulfilled. Then I'm complete. Then I'm satisfied. I have everything I need. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you all. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Are there any questions or any comments? No questions, no comments? Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.